Welcome to episode 24 of the Slouching Towards Thatcham Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim. Every week I chat with a fellow parents blogger and we each read one of our favourite posts, bringing you bite-sized chunks of blogging brilliance in audio form. It's like settling into a hot bath with your favourite book, only drier and with fewer words. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by Sarah, who puts the un into the unmumsy mum. Hi there, Sarah.
Hi, Tim.
So just to start with, tell us a little bit about you and your family.
Okay. So hi, I'm Sarah. I am probably better known online as the unmumsy mum, but nobody calls me that in real life, obviously. I live in Devon with my husband, James, and our two boys, Henry, who's almost four, and Jude, who's 16 months.
Okay, so let's move on to your blog. So the Unmumsy Mum has been running for, what, about 2.5 years now?
That's right, yeah.
So why did you set it up and what do you think makes it uniquely you?
Initially, I started writing the blog after I'd become slightly sort of disheartened and anxious after reading some of the other parenting blurb that I'd found online. So I discovered that many of the other sort of articles and forums and blogs were documenting the best bits. And I also found stuff that was documenting support and advice for the extreme worst bits. But there wasn't sort of anything that seemed to be giving an account of the day-to-day reality, I suppose, of life at home with very small children. So I wanted something that would kind of offer comfort and support and say, you know, it's quite normal to be having these feelings. It's not all glossy all of the time. So I decided to write something of my own.
Yeah, and I think for sure anyone that's ever read the blog would agree that it's real and distinctly unglossy. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Now, I met you at a blog on event last October where you talked about how you'd almost accidentally stumbled into becoming something of a social media phenomenon with a Facebook page that, when I looked the other day, has more than 330,000 likes now and seems to be growing by the day. So how do you think you've managed to establish such a thriving community online?
That's a really good question. I get asked all the time sort of how and why the Facebook page has been such a success. And I actually think it's probably a combination of factors. Firstly, I think the page is so much more than just my blog. I mean, I started it and it's based on my blog and it's me that's posting. But in fact, often the best content comes from comments or from pictures and stories that are shared by other parents. So it's actually become kind of an alternative parenting community, I think. I've heard from many mums and some dads, actually, that say that they come straight to my Facebook page when they have 5 minutes to sort of check their phone or check social media. And they come straight to the page to sort of catch up on what they've missed. So it's definitely that community sort of feel. And secondly, I don't really do product reviews, giveaways, promotions of any kind on my blog or social media pages, which I think makes people unlikely to unfollow the page. My unfollow numbers are like really small, kind of, if anything, which I think I have had feedback and heard from other parents before who've said that even if it's been a blog that they've really liked, they have actually unfollowed on social media because they're fed up of seeing win this, I recommend this, hashtag review this, kind of all the rest of it. So I think I don't know if that plays a part. It might not, but I've certainly heard from people that say, you know, that I don't post every day. I only post when I've got something to post, you know, and it's not kind of reviews and giveaways and promos and sponsored posts and things. So I think sometimes people appreciate that. And lastly, I hope the page is a success because people like what I'm writing and sharing. That's why I keep doing it. So I hope that's why people share it and then their friends like and share it. And it kind of snowballs from there, I think.
Yeah, I think it's definitely much more of a community than a promotional page. And I think you're right. I think that's certainly got to be a big part of the success of it. So now, the past few months, you've been busy with a small little project that's launching very soon. So care to tell us a little bit more about it?
I have. So this week, actually, I have just had to sign off on the final proof copy of my book, which comes out next month. And it feels a little bit like my third child, to be honest. I've kind of been writing and putting it together and, you know, having the early discussions about it for about 9 months, funnily enough. So it now feels like I'm quite close to giving birth to it next month. So yeah, it feels very weird, but I'm excited as well. It's very similar in tone to my blog. It's the kind of warts and all account of parenthood, and it's my honest assessment of how I've really found it, not how I wanted to find it or how I'd hoped that I'd found it, but how I genuinely have found being a mum. And it covers more content in more depth than my blog does. So it means I'm kind of petrified and excited in equal measure about letting it loose in the world. But it's too late now. It's gone to print. So that's that.
Yeah, there's no going back now.
I'm just going to have to go into hiding, I think, for a couple of months. But no, it's fine.
So finally, before we launch into the post that you're going to read for us today, can you just give us a little bit of background to that?
Absolutely, yeah. So the post that I've chosen is a post which is called Sometimes That'll Do Is All You've Got. And I wrote it after feeling a little bit guilty for having kind of let my overall standards slip in a number of areas, I think. I am much less of a perfectionist as a parent than I ever was before. And I think this post addresses me kind of coming to terms with that.
Excellent. So in that case, I'll just pass it over to you now. So this is Sarah reading Sometimes That'll Do Is All You've Got.
I never had much of a need for that'll do before I became a parent. There was no that'll do during my school days when I was the geekiest child. I was a straight A student. I did extra homework for fun. And aside from the beautifully brainy boy in my maths class, I never so much as looked at the opposite sex until I was 15 and had started dabbling in hair mascara and Smirnoff Ices and tops from Tammy Girl. There was no that'll do at university either, when I was hell-bent on getting a first-class honours degree and would crawl into 9 a.m. lectures with the mother of all hangovers, because the thought of borrowing somebody else's notes just wouldn't do. There certainly wasn't room for that'll do when, as a graduate, I joined the fast-track scheme of a bank and spent my days seeking to prove to myself and everybody else that I deserved to be fast-tracked. I gave it my all of it. I gave it all my all. Motherhood, I anticipated, would be no different. I would invest the same level of time, energy, and get up and go that I'd successfully displayed in the preceding 25 years. I'd no doubt feel an element of healthy competition when surrounded by other mothers, and my desire to do my best, be the best, would see me through. I would totally boss it. And I've totally bossed it and been a legend of motherhood ever since. The end. Just kidding. You see, I've done a bit of a U-turn on my aversion to that'll do since becoming a mum. A gradual one, it has to be said. I wanted so badly to be the best, to get glowing reviews, to get straight A grades in baking, housewifery and motherly amazingness. But it turns out it wasn't as simple as that, or as easy. It was much harder. I just couldn't maintain the same get up and go. My get up and go got up and went. And now when it periodically returns, I appreciate it. I think, yes, this is a good day and I'm doing a good job. On the other days, I am plodding. I've never been a plodder, but I'm starting to think that there is something to be said for plodding. That'll do has become part of my life, not because I'm lazy or because I'm happy to settle for a compromise, but because sometimes it's all I can manage. When the house is an absolute shit tip and I do the 1 minute express baby wipe of all surfaces and run the Hoover around just the visible bits of the floor, I know it's not ideal, but it's enough. That'll do. When we're all tired and the baby is screaming and the three-year-old is hungry and I've got a cough and I resort to cereal for tea, then compensate by giving them fruit for pudding, which they don't eat, but it makes me feel better. I know it's not ideal, but it's enough. That'll do. When I wake up with grand plans to take them to the beach and run around with our arms outstretched like aeroplane wings, but then for one reason or another we end up at the park again before coming home to watch Paw Patrol again, I know it's not ideal, but it's enough. That'll do. It's an interesting feeling to settle for less, to settle for not being the best, to try to type message after message of responses back to mums who tell me they are terrible parents. They are not terrible parents, I tell them. They are doing their best. Sometimes your best is not ideal, but it's enough. That'll do. All hail the plodding.
Thanks, Sarah. I think so many of us can associate with what you've said in this post, and I think most of us come to the same realization at some point. I mean, certainly with our three, I think we're now at the point where any day that doesn't end in a trip to A&D, a letter from the Child Protection Services, or a tearful 999 call counts as a win in our book. So
yeah.
Plodding sounds just fine to me. And I do love the post where you write like this, because it reminds us that it is okay just to lower the bar just a teensy little bit sometimes.
I hope so, yeah. I hope it's okay, because my bar has definitely been lowered, but there we go.
So before you sign off, can you just remind us all about the title of your book and where and when people can start forming an orderly queue to buy it?
I can, yes. So the book is quite simply called The Unmumsy Mum. It will be out on the 11th of February, and it's already available to pre-order on Amazon and some other sites as well, I think. But 11th of Feb will be the day that it comes out, and it will be out in bookshops. So it'll be in Waterstones, WH Smith's, and anywhere else that chooses to stock it. So, yeah, very exciting.
Brilliant. So, Sarah, thank you very much for taking the time to join me on this week's podcast, and good luck with the launch of the book.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to read more of Sarah's writing, go to theunmumsymum.blogspot.co.uk or follow her on Twitter at theunmumsymum. I'll attach blog and social media links on the show notes over on slouchingtowardsthatcham.com. I mentioned in my chat with Sarah that we met for the first time at Blog on Winchester a few months back. It was great meeting her, although, tongue-tied introvert that I am, I think I managed to blurt out about three words that probably sounded like I was speaking in Mandarin: underwater. Funnily though, inspired as I was by the talk she gave at the event, I went home with a surprising mix of emotions that knocked me back for several days afterwards. This is the post I wrote about those feelings. Inspiration and a crisis of confidence. Inspired, encouraged, dispirited. At the moment, I'm all of the above. I was at the Blog On conference in Winchester last weekend, where Sarah from the Unmumsy Mum gave a fantastic, honest talk about her highly successful approach to blogging, an approach which defies received wisdom about how to be successful in blogging. By her own admission, her site design's a bit of a mess, she's not a social media guru, and she sometimes goes weeks without writing a post. All no-nos, according to many experts. I love that. It's a delightful antidote to the myth that there is a proven formula that must be followed to turn yourself into a super blogger. You know, the sort who wears their brightly primary coloured underpants outside their equally brightly primary coloured figure-hugging costume with a distinctive symbol emblazoned on their chest. Cape optional. Sarah isn't a pro-blogger in the usual sense of the term. What she is, however, is a fantastic writer who really connects with her audience and has built a vast community of fans. She registers something like 87 gazillion views per month, and her Facebook page has over 300,000 likes, the kind of numbers the rest of us can only dream of. Having listened and had the chance to talk to her more informally, I left the day feeling inspired, encouraged, and, I realised with a bit of a jolt afterwards, rather dispirited, as it has tipped me into a minor crisis of confidence. Now, this is no reflection on Sarah or her talk. She's as down-to-earth, easy to relate to, and genuinely un-show-offy a person as you could ever meet, much like she is on her blog. But when you see someone achieve deserved success so effortlessly, it can bring home how far you are yourself from achieving that same level. And if, like me, you're not the most confident of people to begin with, it's easy to get knocked out of your stride. And that's where I am as I write this post. I'm not seeking reassurance, but I do keep asking myself what I need to do to up my game as a writer. Not being able to come up with any answers, and then wondering whether I've already reached my limit. Accepting that there are better, funnier, more creative, more successful writers than me is not the problem. I've never been under any illusions about what I am. I'm a decent writer, in a sea of good, and occasionally outstanding writers. I'm okay with that. I don't have great stats. I'm okay with that too. I'm a terrible, socially awkward networker. I'm less okay with that, but that's just how I am. The real problem's this. Is my lack of confidence as a writer a fair reflection of my own limitations, or does it constrain my ability to be the best writer I can possibly be? Is confidence a function of competence? Is it the other way round? Or is it one of those self-fulfilling cycles where each begets the other? It's an issue I've wrestled with for a long time. In many aspects of my life, I'm extremely capable, which instills a certain level of confidence. But that confidence is brittle. When faced with someone better, or simply even more self-assured in their ability than me, my self-belief can dissolve faster than gossamer in a vat of acid. There have been many times when I've been the most knowledgeable person in the room, and yet felt unable to say anything. I simply don't have that unshakable confidence of, say, a top-level sportsperson, or a corporate CEO, or the average apprentice candidate. In some respects, that can be a positive thing, as I'm rarely overconfident. In others, it's not so helpful. The reality is that being the wrong side of 40, I am what I am. I'm not going to transform myself overnight into Mr. Confident with a self-help manual, or by simply willing myself to do so. I'm having a bit of a wobble as a blogger, but that will soon pass. I won't ever set the blogging world alight and be asked to deliver keynotes at blogging conferences, but as long as I'm steadily improving, that's fine. What does concern me more is ensuring that our kids don't follow in their father's footsteps and are better able to find a suitable point on the spectrum that enables them to be confident without becoming arrogant. That's a trickier one. It's often said that confidence is about believing in yourself. I prefer to think of it more as being comfortable with being yourself. It's taken me too long in life to feel at home in my own skin. I hope I can teach our kids to find and embrace confidence in a positive way that enables to be everything they can be, whatever that turns out to be. And that's it for this episode of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast. If you'd like to listen to either future or previous episodes, you'll find them published on the blog, and also on iTunes, YouTube, and various podcasting sites. You can follow me on the blog at slouchingtowardsthatcham.com, on Twitter at ThatchamDad, and on various other social media channels. You'll find links to all of the above, plus Sarah's links, in the show notes on the blog. All that remains is for me to say thank you all for listening to this podcast, and hopefully you'll join me again next week. Until then, goodbye.